Welcome to the interview with your host, Lee Gillespie. This podcast is about the people of magic and the stories they bring. Lee engaged in a conversation with Mitch Sandel, a 28-year-old military veteran and avid gamer. Enjoy.
See, that's when you know you're a gamer, when you talk about games like it's a habit. Like, yeah, well,
it really
I was able to stop Final Fantasy for a couple months. or you talk about subscriptions to games, and you're like, well, I had to stop because I couldn't afford food. Like,
I've never gotten that bad. I've been fortunate I had Buddy to play him, but definitely. I've been aware that I'm addicted to video games, and I've been trying to take steps to not be as, like, all about them.
Well, yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Especially, I think you have any type of gamer like that that gets... If you get into Magic, I think you're OCD on some level. Mm-hmm. Like, all people that are older than 16 probably have OCD on some level.
Yeah.
Because, like, who else keeps a collection of, like, 4,000 pieces of cardboard and worries about their condition and stuff? Like,
and organizes them?
Yeah, and... Puts them in alphabetical order by set and numerical order. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And memorizes all the cards set.
When did you start playing?
Magic?
Yeah.
I would say 12, but I didn't know what I was doing because I just read the little... Back then, they put the little rule book in there. And I read that little rule book, and me and my friends would play off of that, but we... We really had no idea how the real rules were. And then I started playing in a tournament at probably 15 or 16. I hit a comic shop up once. Just revisit, because I didn't really play the game that much. And then, like, I revisited it, and they were having a tournament that night. So I just decided to jump in it. But I had to make a deck real quick, and, of course, I had, like, the 200-stack deck of bad cards and... Four land, and like got trounced on all night and made fun of, but got better immediately the next Friday.
But it was fun though, right?
Oh, it was a blast.
Even though you get trounced?
Well, I did. I think the biggest thing about it is, the coolest thing about Magic is just the fact that there's, one, it's a social game more than it is anything else. Like, people play it just to be around the other people that play it. As much as they may say they play it because it's strategy or chess or whatever, like, you play it, it's competitive and it's fun, but you're around other people. And that's what draws the crowds. That's why when a comic shop only has 6 people showing every Friday, like, it never grows. Because, like, they want more people there. You know, they're going to go find someplace else where there's more people playing. I was surprised that there were places where you could go. When I first started playing, like, at the comic shop, it was a blast because I didn't know people that played. And, like, they played like I wanted to play, like, heavy into it, knew the rules, stuff like that. And, like, and of all my friends, we still played casually, but, like, I was the only one that went, like, tournament level and started, you know, really trying.
That's where I met you. I was playing. I was at my stages of traveling to play in big tournaments, and I met you at Columbus Convention Center a couple years back. And you were like the only guy that would, like, you were approachable and you would talk to me. I was just like, I know nobody in this city, and I come to this really early to the convention, and there's this guy just kind of looking through binders. I was like, so. What do you need? And he's like, oh, I got this deck. I was, you know, a lot of Magic players, I find out that they, I think because of the nature of the game, so a lot of kids are isolated, kind of like put into geeks and nerd categories. So they got this big defensive wall of, you know, I don't like strangers. Are you trying to mock me? I don't understand. Why are you talking to me?
And that's the hardest thing, because you go to those conventions and, like, if you're a geek, you know, like I am, and probably you would consider yourself a geek. Like, everybody there probably has been called a geek from time to time for playing that game. It's like, but you got to realize when you go in there, you can look around and be like, well, I'm not the biggest geek here. Like, that's the best part about it. It's like, I can be as geeky as I can, and I still am not like half as bad as that guy across the table.
Yeah, but... and that's one thing. You kind of can judge people as far as you feel comfortable there, but like one thing you can tell just by looking at a person, you can't tell how good of a player they are in this.
Yeah.
Well, besides the guy who wears the crazy magic hat and you're like, or the jester's cap at the tournament, you're like, he sucks. But you know, yeah. Like everybody else, it's really hard to tell. But
especially when you're getting beat by like, I don't know, you know, your non-stereotypical player, like a, I don't know, 18-year-old female, and you're like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, you assume they suck.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you playing because your boyfriend plays?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I've been playing 6 years competitive Magic. Oh. And they, like, whip out their, like, fireball.com t-shirt and shit. And you're just like, oh, okay.
But back to, like, what you were saying, finding, like, a place to play. When I came down here, I went to a shop and only had, like, six people. And they started their tournament late, like, an hour late, and I rolled as soon as they finally said they were going to start, because I was like, really? You guys, no, this is not going to work. So then I found the shop that you played at, and I was like, oh, I remember this guy, and found out you lived across the street from me. It was completely random, but that was really cool.
Yeah. Well, I was pumped about that too, because I just started going back and playing at that shop, and it was a drive from where I lived. So it was kind of a drag having to go there, and I didn't really have any of those people. Like, I didn't hang out with any of those people outside of Friday Night Magic. Like, and they all lived in different areas than where I lived.
Well, you used to work at one, right?
Yeah, I actually worked at that shop.
What's it like to work at a magic shop? Because I know a lot of players, they spend a lot of time there. And
you don't make a lot of money because you spend it on the cards. Like, I spent a lot of money. My collection was ridiculous after a while. But you could... You know, under the table type stuff. I was good with the owners and stuff. So, like, you took in trades and maybe you threw in some jank rares on the top that weren't a part of the factor of, you know, the trade in. And you're like, well, I'll give you, you know, 50 store credit for these. And four of them, you know, aren't in that equation. Yeah. That are going straight to your binder.
Skimming off the top.
A little bit. Yeah. That was that's the best part about being there is, and then your personal collection grows legally, but also by spending lots of money. But it was a blast though. I learned a lot of the cards because they had everything there, and I actually I don't want to take credit or anything, but like nurtured the dwindling Magic crowd there, because like it's like you said, people are very defensive about it, so they come in and they ask, you know. And if you go to your typical comic shop, like the people there aren't trained to be consumer friendly or commercial friendly customer service, you know what I mean? Like they're not they won't get excited about it, you know. They'll treat you like, well, are you really into Magic, or are you just coming in here to make fun of me and buy my card? Like, it's like they're coming in asking about your cards, dude. They're as geeked out on it as you are. You like, you might as well get pumped about it, because they will too. Like, and it drew a lot of players in. Like, we got a considerable base going at that point, and it's grown from there. But the best part was there was Legend of the Five Rings players there. That was what the owner and the manager played, and there was... The reason there wasn't a big Magic player group there is because they were all into Legend of the Five Rings. And it was the only place, like, really on the planet where that game was popular at all. And, like, so at any given tournament where they had any kind of showing of that game at, like, a convention or whatever, 50% of it was because it was the guys from our shop. Like, that's how small the game was. And... the community was small, much, much smaller, but it was big at that one particular shop. And they would mock the Magic players, but, like, really, we could just mock them right back, because it's like, yeah, well, your card game comes out with, like, one set a year, maybe, if they can afford it, if they're not, like, going broke on their mortgages trying to print these cards.
What is it about that? Why is there even, like, a competition between two different games? Why can't somebody just play one game and...
I think that's the nature of all competition. Like if they've invested a lot in their cards, they don't want to know they bought into a bad investment. And
okay. So they're defending their insecurity.
They're defending their investment. Like, well, my cards, they want people to play their game, but they weren't a very hospitable group when new players would show up anyway. So it kind of blew up in their faces that way.
Tell me, I remember one time you told me the reason why you don't like dogs.
You know, nobody wipes a dog and they don't wipe their own. Like, so when they sit on you, basically your jeans are the toilet paper. Like, it just bothers me. I know it's a dog and like blah blah blah, but it's like, but it's the same poop.
Yeah. When you told me that, I was just like, wow, that's really, I never thought of it.
Yeah, like people were like, oh, I love my dog, and sit on their lap, and it's like, yeah, they crap out of that end. Like,
I just got a cat, and when we got it from off of Craigslist, and the guy was like, oh, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I'm like, okay. So I bring it home. I surprise my girlfriend with it for Christmas, and she's like, so is it a guy or a girl? I'm like, I don't know. So we Googled how to tell, and so all on Google is a series of pictures of cats, and you had to stare at the and tell whether or not they're and they're like pee hole is so distant apart. And so it was just hilarious. We're in this room and she's like, hold the cat down. And I'm staring, getting really close. The cat will not sit still, but I was just like, this is the most awkward thing in the world. I'm trying to.
Dude, I hope it's a practical joke on Google. Like, I hope there's everybody's posting up. Yeah. This is how you tell if it's a boy or girl. And it's not true at all.
Like, I even took a picture for examination later. I don't know if that's against the law.
Cause like, that's something I would do. I'd be like, yeah, you'd have to stare at their for like an hour to see if it's a boy or girl.
No, she kept moving her around, and I couldn't get a good look. But
I've had that happen with a lot. Oh,
are you on Twitter at all?
No, I don't. I don't do social networking sites.
I noticed that your wife's my friend, but not you.
Yeah, she's on it. She doesn't mind it. I read a lot of Richard Stallman, if you ever heard of that guy. Obviously, by the look of your face, you don't know who Richard Stallman is. He's a personal hero of mine. He's kind of quirky. You can just tell by his own web pages and stuff. He's a quirky guy. But he's the founder of the GNU Project, Linux, all open source software. Pretty much is, like, you can give credit to him as the father of all open source, and everybody who's into that crowd, like, obviously what he says is gospel. So, and like, we share a lot of the same opinions about the way the internet and basically businesses will treat Americans as politicians will treat them as voters. Businesses see them as consumers, and they don't see them as consumers, but as dumb consumers. Like, if you've heard of cloud computing, I don't know how many. I'm a computer guy, and I work on a lot of people's computers as a hobby, and they ask me questions all the time, and they're like, hey, how do I do cloud computing? What's this cloud computing? Is this a program I have to get? And
yeah,
I'm like,
just download it.
And I'm just like, I laugh, and they're like, it's on Windows 7. Do I have to have Windows 7 for cloud computing?
I love how Windows is like advertising it, like, yeah, it's something you should.
Yeah,
just,
exactly. Yeah. And that's where they're treating you as a dumb consumer. It's like, Google the term cloud computing, and you'll understand it's something you've been doing for a long time. Like it's, but Richard Stallman is a little bit prolific when he speaks about computing, like where the road is going to end. And some people dismiss it because they see it as, that's the doomsday scenario. But more often than not, it's more of, well, this is how a business is going to make the most money off of this. And that's how it always ends up, like, because that's what the business is going to do to survive. Like, me and my buddy are waiting for the day Blizzard starts charging monthly fees to play our game online, because we're like, they're not going to do this for free. As soon as they can't pay their mortgages, we're going to start paying it for them. Like,
I don't think it's really about not being able to pay their mortgages. Why not take the money when they can get it?
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. if it was a small fee, we'd pay it just because we love the game. But on the same end, we're like, it starts free, but we know it's not going to stay free. The way they've set up their license and everything, like, it's bound to happen eventually.
Yeah.
We don't know how it'll work, but we probably would be the dumb consumer that buys it, but we know it's coming.
So how old are you?
28 now.
28, okay. And you've been in the military?
Yeah, I was in the National Guard. I actually just ETS'd out of the National Guard after I died a year.
What does that mean?
Oh, that's end of term of service. So okay. My contract came up. So,
what's that mean?
No longer in the Guard. Like,
so you can't get called contracts. Up.
Yeah, I can't get called up. Finished, basically. Get to walk away a honorable discharge and everything.
So, what are you doing now then?
Well, I still kind of work for them, working in a government job, under the Department of Defense. So, but,
got like military secrets and stuff?
Well, no, they would never trust me with military secrets.
Well, how do you feel about the, I was listening to NPR today and, but they were, talking about, what's it called? Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Personally, don't. I think if you talk to a lot of people in the service, it's probably not as people in any service, they don't like to be in the news necessarily. Like anything that goes on, they don't really want it in the news. Just because it's always twisted one way or the other. Mm-hmm. They take anything somebody in the military says and make it sound the way they want it to sound. And that's the shame of it, is like you can't ever get like an honest interview that's unbiased with any military, like even myself. Like I have my own opinions, but like I can't speak for everybody in the military. Like I would obviously, if I said I didn't care about the ban, there'd be other service members that are very passionate about it one way or the other and would have something to say. I would think the general consensus is the military just does what they're told. Most people in the military, it's not a personal thing for them. You know, like they play it up in the media like it's a personal thing. It's going to, you know, the America's going to go down the tube or something like or down the toilet or whatever because of it. And in all actuality, like most service members, they're just like, just tell us whether we have to enforce this or not. Like,
it's, you know, a job, I mean? Right?
Yeah, it's a job. And they're like, you know, it's not going to affect their day-to-day. And if it does, the military knows how to take care of their own. Like, they know how to make it so that if you're feeling uncomfortable or something like that, because there's, you know, if there's an open member or something, they can handle it.
Did you play any Magic in the military?
Actually, yeah. When I was deployed to Kosovo, I was still playing tournament and like competitive, and I met a lieutenant at the time. He's probably like a general now or something, the way they move up the ranks. But he played at, and after I got to talking with him, because we're all from Ohio, of course, in the Guard, like he played at the other comic town. In Westerville at that time. They're gone now, that one's shut down, but he played at the other comic town and knew all the guys out there, and working at a comic town, I knew the other comic town obviously. So when he began to talk about who he played with, I knew who they were and was like, oh, you play in Westerville. So we kind of connected, we played, and then from us, like two or three other guys started playing, because there wasn't a lot to do in Kosovo, so that was a way to kill a few hours every now and then, like, but yeah. And I actually ended up seeing him a couple times when I got back at that same store that he went to.
Did you ever get like teased while you, because I,
oh yeah. But you, the trick is you got to poke fun at yourself before they do.
Okay.
That's the trick. Okay. Like there was we were playing, we worked at a clinic, and we were playing there, and there was this one interpreter we all knew who she was because she was gorgeous and she was Serbian. Like, I don't know if anybody really knows stereotypically, but she was the gorgeous, stereotypical gorgeous Serbian, like long dark hair, big blue eyes, like perfect skin, just gorgeous. And like, she walked in one day and she saw us playing, and like, I had talked to her a couple times. So when she walked in, she looked at me and looked at us playing, and I just kind of smiled and I was like, yep, never going to go out with me now. Like, she laughed, but like, that's, you know, you got to poke fun at yourself before they have the chance to judge you about it. You're just like, well, you know,
I feel like there's a distinction. There's like two type, well, maybe three types, of Magic players. Like the kind that, which I believe you're in and I'm in also, like when you get a card, you know, like a new set comes out or something and you're evaluating a card, you're not like, oh, it's Kargan Dragon Lord. Oh my sweet. It's a dragon. That's awesome. You look at, you're like, power and toughness, casting costs. Does it fly? Okay. You know, you're evaluating it by like numbers and stuff. And you're like effectiveness and whatnot. When there's like the other crowd that's wants, you know, a role-playing activity. And I think that's why Magic draws a crowd. It does, is because it's got that competitiveness that draws somebody who's like really into gaming and competition. And it also gets the people that are like, okay, I want to role play.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does, it has, because it has that fantasy in it. Like the whole thing is built around, it's essentially a tangible game based off of the fantasy world, you know? And that's, like, I did fall into that once, I would say, because like there's been a couple times where I will play a subpar card because I love the art.
It's and freaking like, sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet. The best example was Bogarden Hellkite. Right. Yeah, like that was, I was obsessed with that dragon. And I don't know why, but I was like, I don't care how I have to get this thing into play. But it is just too cool to not play, because, and at the time, it was the metagame and everything. Like, it was a good, if it ever hit the board, it was never in any top tier one decks because it was too hard to play. The cost is too high. But if you ever met a jank player who happened to play it, it ended the game. And that's where I was like, I want to play that card. That is the first time, like, it is a, basically, I lay it down, I win game. Like, I win card. And it's like, so I decided, like, I ran a playset in my deck. And that's, like, the worst card to run a playset of. But, you know, you ran, like, four different ways to get it into play. And that's all that mattered. I mean, the best example is when I went to the PTQ and played Tree Folk. And, like, everybody I knew was like, oh, that's so bad. Don't play it. Don't play it. Don't play it. But I'd been playing it for months, you know, and like had it down packed, like knew my game plans, and I was the last man standing out of our group. And it's like, so what do you, yeah, it was like, and that isn't saying much, because I think I went like 3-X eventually, like, or no, I think it was 4-X. They all went 2X or 0-2 drop, excuse me, and I think I won the first three or four matches, and then I think I tanked two matches in a row. But like in between, after the second round, I was like, so how are you doing? Like, I'm 2-0. What's going on?
Tree folk's still going.
Yeah, yeah. How's your white token deck going? And back then I think it was black white tokens. It was huge. Yeah. And it was like, how's your black white token doing? Oh really? 0-2? Oh, I'm 2-0.
But can you imagine your opponent every game? They're just like, they expect one of the archetypes, and then you pull out Tree Folk, and they're just like, yeah. What do I do?
Well, I did, like, that was the fairy matchup I went up against, because fairies was still very prevalent then, and, like, I went into it with a loss, because they deck-checked my deck, and because I had, like, 7 foil forests out of my 24 or something.
Was it
like
a random deck check?
Yeah, supposedly. It was random. And, like, but the guy said, because he saw I had foil lands. And then he said I had marked my cards with foil. And after that, I've never played foil cards ever.
Yeah.
But kind of discouraging. But anyway, the point was, like, I went into it with a game loss against this guy. And everybody thought I was pretty much out, and I rolled him two games in a row, like, with the dumbest deck, and the guy was so mad. Like, that's what kills me.
He spent a buttload of money on it.
Like, because he went there, like, if he was going to lose, he was going to lose to black-white tokens, or he was going to lose to Jund. Mm-hmm. He was not going to lose a game ahead against a random Treefolk deck, and he got plowed.
So do you cheat?
No.
Why not?
Because, I don't know. Why don't I cheat, dude? I should be... I think really the biggest thing in Magic, I don't cheat because it's too damn hard.
Oh, really?
Like, you have to, like... They're like... I meet people and they'll be like, oh, I can stack a deck. And it's like, really? You can watch every card go by as you rifle shuffle? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't have the kind of concentration. Just, I'm not going to sit down and shuffle 4,000 times to figure this out. Like,
you ever seen anybody cheat?
Yes. Yes, I've. But it's not really cheating as much as they... They're just really active and don't want to lose. Like, so it was an obvious kind of, they tried to cheat and people called them on it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of jank.
Remember that the last PTQ we went to? I think you went with me, right? I built a homebrew. I don't know if you built a homebrew too, but there was a guy sitting next to me and he was doing one of those, like, real quick. He told me I could go. Or no. He went on my turn, that kind of thing, where he made like...
We ended up playing each other in that match. Each other on that match, kind of goofy, because we didn't... I think I gave you the match, because my record was worse.
Yeah, and then I screwed it up later.
Yeah, and then I watched you tank it and waste it all away and regretted it to this day, which is why I don't call you. But, what was it? Yeah, that guy was nuts, though. Like, he really took it too far. Like, when you call a judge over and the judge, like, shrugs his shoulders and kind of walks away, just shut your mouth. Like, at that point, like, you don't have a case. Like, but he really worked it up that, like, he had not cheated and stuff. And, like, he was trying to get the other guy called
out
for cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, everybody sitting around him was like, no, he said go. Like, and it was just so stupid obvious. It's like, you didn't mean to say go. Just tuck your tail in between your legs and go back home. Like, no big deal, as long as you don't call the judge over again, which he did two or three more times. And it's like, you're just making yourself look like an ass now.
Well, you know, you could tell he was going to cheat from the beginning of the match, because I can tell by a kid, a player's mannerisms, because the kid was playing super fast and super sloppy, so he could come up with, if he ever needed the opportunity to say, oh, he went when he wasn't supposed to. It was because you're playing so erratically and crazy.
Yeah.
And then what?
And that's what they ended up getting him on. Yeah. Like, the judges made the right call. I think, what was it? They said it actually penalized him, mm-hmm, because he was not clear and concise on his turn. And that, in that situation, that was the perfect call. Like, because the guy was just being a jerk about it.
Yeah, but then what happened later? He argued against the case, because it went back to like just a warning and continue playing the game. Isn't that when you stop, right? You just keep going. Okay, we'll keep playing the game. The best winner wins.
Yeah, and the best part was one of the guys from our shop came up and was like talking to how he was texting a level 3 judge at that time, and like, and that's
to intimidate
and
me.
Like, yeah, like, I'm gonna talk to my judge friend who's a level 3 judge. And, like, that's when it's gone too far. When, like, you have level 3 judges on speed dial on your cell phone, like you're probably too into the game and you need to work on, like, a career a little bit more. Simply for that, because you're not going to have any money later on down the road to play the game. That was ridiculous. And those guys, I get a big kick out of the people that make it like it's, like, they have rights. When the judge makes a call, like, they went against their constitutional rights of Magic. And it's like, that's not how this game works. This is just like basketball, where if the ref makes a bad call, you go with it regardless, and everybody stays happy because it's just a game. Like, and everybody knows it.
But I had talked to a judge later on that day, and I was like, so how'd that end up? And he was like, well, you know, we made the ruling, there was a warning given, and then he was complaining, so he's like, okay, here's the form, you can fill out a complaint to Wizards, or no, the DCI. You make a complaint, do it. And then he was like, he took it, and then he came back, and he kept complaining, and he was like, all right, if you don't stop complaining, I'm going to kick you out of the tournament. And the kid came back again, and so he got ejected from the tournament. And he was doing good.
Yeah, and that's where you have to realize, like, am I going to throw my $35 away right now? And if it's worth it to you to throw the $35 away, again, you're too into the game. Like, you're taking it way too seriously. And another thing, like you just said, like the DCI, like you can fill out a form. Who do you think's running the DCI? Like, do you think it's like some, like, holy council up there? Like, it's full of, like, judges from Idaho and same dudes you're playing around, like, make up the DCI. Like, they're not gods. You know what I mean?
And that's just, like, sore losers. I noticed you're a very good winner and loser. And I find, like, 90% of the people I play against do not know how to lose or win.
And that's because I watch other people lose and I tell myself I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you really have to, cause there are times when I want to do it. Like when I want to slam my deck and storm around because like luck, didn't go my way or like it didn't work the way I wanted it to, or he was holding the one card in his deck and, outdid me. And you have to take it with a grain of salt, like swallow hard, because it's not going to change anything. The thing I really don't like is when people bash other people, when it becomes like a personal thing. And I know many players that do this, where it suddenly becomes more than the game. Like they were just in a punching match and the guy kicked him in the balls. Like that's not what happened. It's a Magic game, but they'll start talking pretty, what is it? Like the opponent they just played is a complete idiot and just won because of luck, which I think is, totally against their philosophy that nothing in Magic is luck and you can catch them on that on every time. Like, and there was a player that happened at the PTQ because one of our buddies from the shop, or that I'm not too close or familiar with, he was one of the ones who did really well at the tournament, and he was playing a non-standard deck that he made up. But he's won multiple big ones. But he came, like, and he was playing some what others would consider subpar cards. And he went up against, at that time, the deck was a combo Swan. It was the Swan deck.
Swan's combo.
Yeah, Swan's combo with a crap ton of lands.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is it, Tectonic Instability or something?
Seismic Assault.
Seismic Assault. That's what it was. And the other guy was playing some, I had talked to him a few Friday nights before the PTQ. And like we had talked about like the, what was totally underplayed at that time was Trample because White Tokens was out there. And really, the one good thing you could do against White Tokens that a lot of mid-range decks weren't running was Trample. Because with your mana acceleration, you can put down a fatty. And he chose, I was going Treefolk, so I had plenty of different ones to choose from, which is my ammo against White Weenie. But he chose to run, what was that avatar? The green-black hybrid avatar. What did they call those guys?
From Lorwyn?
Shadow. It would have been Shadowmoor because it was anti-allied colors. Anyway, he played this card against White Weenie and stuff. And of course, at this point in the tournament, he was in the finals. And he was playing for the top spot. It was 1-2 right there. And he was playing the Swans combo. And this other dude, like 16, just knobby as crap, was like just bashing this guy for playing this deck. And I had just schooled my buddy on it because he had been doing the same thing. And I said, you know, he's playing for number one. And we're watching. So obviously, he did not pick a bad card. You can't sit there and bash this guy's play skills or his deck choice when he's playing for top spot and we're all sitting on the sidelines. And this kid, obviously, he came, he played Jund. And, like, he was so arrogant because he was sitting there bashing the guy. And I said, well, you know, he's playing for number one, and you're sitting here watching. What do you have to say? Like, what do you have? Well, here's the bad part, long story short. Like, he turned to me and said, well, I could play a bunch of chump players all day long and win, too. And that's where I have a problem with it, because, like, that kind of attitude, that kind of talk, when you have that philosophy towards what you're doing in your game, like, you're spoiling it, you're ruining it for everybody else. And as a player, I wanted the game to do well. Not for me, but as a community. Like, you really have to take a step back. Yes, you want to do well in your tournaments. Yes, you're in it for you to win the tournaments. You don't want to go to lose. But on the same end, you have to take a step back and say, yeah, but if you're cutting down on the mentally handicapped player you're playing against, you look like a giant ass and nobody gives a crap. Like, because you're not doing any good, you know? And yeah, he just totally talked down to everybody the whole time. And you can put him in his place, and he still had excuses on why he wasn't doing well. And that's what irks me, is like they refuse to think that their net deck couldn't lose or that they're a subpar player. And I was like, and that happened another time when a guy was talking that crap next to me in a tournament, and he's like, why can't I just come and play a bunch of scrubs? You were there, I think, for that. He said, why can't I come and just play a bunch of scrubs all day? And I was like, well, really, you're the scrub. So, like, you got to put yourself in perspective. Like, to the other guy, you're the scrub. Like, it doesn't matter.
He's just rationalizing his own insecurity and losses of his own.
Like, everybody there has been, you know, made fun of by their girlfriend for playing Magic. Yeah. You're not the only one. Yeah. Like,
it's okay to lose.
Yeah, you don't have to bring home a gold trophy at a Ferrari to justify that you play Magic the Gathering for your friends. Like, just play the game and enjoy it.
I wonder, you know, what we have, like, what, average 200 a PTQ, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people in that room actually assume they're going to be number one.
199.9. Yeah. Like, everybody that goes. I mean, I go, and I want to win.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play. You know, I understand, like, if I go and play Tree Folk, like, there's a good chance I'm not gonna. Yeah, I accept the odds. Like, I'm like, you know what? If I totally flop, serves me right for playing Tree Folk. But then again, so it's almost a no-lose for me. It's like, if I do half-decent, that's a win for me. If I totally bomb out, well, I'm not doing anything anybody expected me to do. Like, or didn't expect me to do, or whatever. But, And it's all for the fun of it. You know, you go to play and have fun. If you don't have fun, don't spend the money on it. And definitely don't socialize with the other players, because we don't need that. You know, like, the players in the game definitely does not need those players around.
One thing I wanted to discuss is things not to do to be a good player as far as, like, sportsmanship. One thing that really bothers me is when I'll lose against somebody. I'm a good loser. I have no problem losing because I do it a lot. But
we're veteran losers.
Yeah.
I've watched you tank with a Jund deck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I spent a lot of money on that deck, and I'm cool with it. But if you win with your vampire deck against my Jund deck, don't reach across the table and try and shake my hand and say, good game. Nobody wants that. You know, I smile when I win, and, like, I say, good game, but that's the extent. I know the guy across the table does not want to hear a word out of my mouth. He just wants to see me get up and leave.
Yeah. The worst part is to start, and it's natural, especially for this is the part where, like, net deckers not so much or at all, but deck builders, like, when they go rogue and stuff, anytime they win, they have to explain their deck and, like, why their deck beat you. And it's frustrating because I've played my fair share of net decks as well. Like, I built a vamp deck and spent money on it. And, like, I would lose and be like, why did I, you know, because you're just waiting on the 14 cards you have in your deck that's total blowout against your opponent, and you don't draw any of them. And they're trying to school you, and you're looking at them, and you're just like, I know, but you can't handle my Hexmage. There's nothing in your deck you can do to handle my Hexmage. If I'd have drawn a Hexmage in all 14 turns it took you to beat me, I would have won this game. Like, and it's that kind of, like, you have to have a little tact when you talk about your deck, because you don't want to sit there and tell them stuff. They've read your card. They know what your cards are. Obviously, they just played you. They know how they lost, and they know that your deck was running the way you wanted it to, obviously. They don't need to be rehearsed that after the fact. The best thing I had was when I would play with my other buddy, he was in the beginning, I'm a very blunt person. He's a very, not very, but he was arrogant and abrasive. Like he would, so I was blunt with him and told him, you can be arrogant and abrasive at times. I don't mind it. I understand his, like, I knew him better. I'm like, but if you just met you, yeah, I could see where people think you're a little arrogant or abrasive because, like, you're doing all this stuff. And after that, the guy changed that. You know what I mean? It's very easy to suddenly, oh, you know, sometimes those players just need to be told how ridiculous they sound. And then they're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't make myself look like an like, and then, but from then on, like, it happens when you're playing a competitive game like that, where you're gonna get heated at time to time. And like, there was one time where I was a giant and like the guy was like, yeah, and my buddy came up and he's like, yeah, you kind of sounded like an arrogant right there. And I was like, really? And like, to me, I was just venting. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, ah, man, that sucks. Like, and I talked to the guy afterward, the opponent I played, and like, all was cool. Like, I was like, yeah, sorry about that if I came off like a jerk. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna, like, especially if you have like a shop you play at a lot, if you're that type of player, nobody's gonna like you. And you're gonna be, how geeky and awful are you to get shunned from the Magic crowd? Like, that should be like accepting of everybody. Because there's so few of us, like, we should not be sharing or encouraging the bad habits that we already have towards that. Because obviously we're not pro basketball players. Like, we're not making millions at what we do. We're actually, you know, spending obscene amounts of money on something that a lot of people laugh at us for.
Well, thanks for talking to me. You want to go look at my cat's?
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the show. Please send constructive feedback to theinterview@gmail.com. Stay tuned for next week when Lee interviews pro tour player John Gopinski. Bye.